Welcome back. You are watching or listening to Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca, and we were just talking about how are we going to see get a red wave, what I called a spangled wave, this coming election cycle. When I say spangled, I'm thinking about all of the people who haven't necessarily called themselves Republicans, but are aligning themselves with the Republican Party now that Trump has created, that's really expanded its tent pegs. We are bringing in people, independents and even Democrats, who before never would have imagined themselves part of this Make America Great Again movement. So one of the things I was thinking about, Kelly, in terms of how do we see this wave happen is, in some ways, I think Biden and his folks, I'll call them folks, are creating that and generating that wave for us. I am as frustrated as any other supporter of Trump, seeing him basically being gagged by a judge when he has a First Amendment right to speak. It just goes to how they are continually trying to change the rules of the game, so to speak, to keep him silenced and to defeat him in this election. Those kinds of things are actually galvanizing the masses. It's exciting us to be to push back and say, that is not the America we want. That is not the America we believe in. That is not the America we pay our taxes to support. That is not the America that our soldiers go out and bleed and die for. That is not the America that our founders established. That is not the America we want to pass down to our children. And so the more that they do this, the more they are inspiring and emboldening Americans across the country, including Americans who traditionally were on opposite sides of if not the political aisle, the social values aisle, whatever you want to call it, to come and coalesce behind the president, because we want to make a statement to those elitists, to those people who think that they can puppeteer the strings of government and control our lives and intimidate us into silence, that no, we will not be silent. We know what our rights are. We know the America that our soldiers have died for, and that's the America we want to pass down to our children, not this America that you are trying to create, where you're persecuting, you know, political opponents, and using a system of justice in a way that is so corrupt, it just boggles the mind. And we are losing, in addition to all of that, we're losing our ability to speak with authority to our to other nations about justice, about freedom, about rights, because of what we're doing right now. We've totally undermined, I think, our standing and what we've done before the American people and before the world.
And our founders warned about this. So remember,
yep,
in the beginning, they said it's incumbent on us to create this form of government because the ruling party, the ruling class in England, has committed these abuses against the people, and government can only lead by the consent of those governed, and therefore we have an obligation to do something. And then they also said, now that we've created this government, it's up to us to then have the obligation to manage and lead it here. And I think it is because of apathy, complacency, maybe being too busy, that we have become a little bit complicit in what's happening. And I think we have to take ownership of that. When we have the lowest voter turnout in history, when elections are being decided by 18-20% of a population.
You're talking about in Alaska, the lowest voter turnout?
Yeah, in Alaska. But we weren't the only state. There were other jurisdictions that, while some places had really high voter turnout in our last election cycle, 2022, other states had toss-up states had really low turnout. And then you talk about local races, which, by the way, are the building ground, the building blocks and the breeding ground for politicians and leaders to then move up to state and national politics. Decisions are being made by a fifth of the population. And our founders would say that's the problem. In fact, one of the people who wrote an extremely compelling book, which these two political science nerds have read, but I think most of our population hasn't. He said the greatest risk to this new American system of government, which has never been created before, nothing like this has ever been created. And I don't think anything could ever be created since. He said the greatest risk is not from the outside. He said you will have a lot of political enemies. You will have your battles and wars, which we've done pretty well in, guys. He said the greatest threat to America will be from the inside. It'll be from Americans who will not responsibly handle what has been given to them. And through taxation, through not managing the government that they have, they will get drunk on power or drunk on complacency, and they will let the whole thing fall apart.
You're talking about de Tocqueville?
Yes.
Yes. That was a great paraphrase.
Yeah, nice pop pop quiz there, yeah, taking you all the way back to college.
Yeah. You know, and that's so important, because, you know, the point that he makes is the beauty of the American experiment, but also the fragility of it, right? And we have, I think, lost an appreciation for how fragile freedom is. But we're seeing it right now, right? We saw it with COVID. We're seeing it with what the Biden administration has done in so many ways, not just within our educational system, but also obviously with what they're doing to the president. It's an awakening, I think, for all of us. And so what do? We stand. How do we stand? We use our voices. We get up, we go out there, we advocate for the America that the traditional values that we believe in, that have made America the greatest civilization, the greatest nation ever in history. And we vote. We vote. Whether our votes are counted, whether there's chicanery that happens, that's on whoever does it. But we, I think, always have to take ownership of our responsibility.
Sure.
And say whatever the outcome, it's not going to be because we failed to engage in our civic responsibilities to advocate for what we believe America should be and is about.
I think another thing we can do is get involved.
Yeah.
So a lot of times what I'll hear is, well, that's uncomfortable and that's awkward. Yes, that's correct. I just want to validate that. And as you've heard me say to our kids many times, life is a series of awkward moments separated by snacks.
Well, for you it is.
I excel in the awkward.
Yes, you do.
I've made it one of my sub expertises. I should add that to my LinkedIn profile.
Keep us all entertained.
Yes. But if we just acknowledge that if something's going to go awkward today, then everything just gets a lot easier. So now door knocking, for example, or cold calling people becomes a lot easier when you realize it's just as awkward for me as it feels for you. So if you just jump in to the swimming pool of awkward, this whole thing warms up if you just get in and start swimming. So call that person who you want to be supporting, or the candidate, the campaign that you want to win, and say, how can I help? There's all kinds of ways to help, even being a keyboard warrior and getting the word out on social media, not to your 92 followers, but to posting in social media groups in places where people are actually there and listening. That can influence things. But making calls, phone banking, door knocking, stretching yourself and giving some dollars, even $5, will really help. These are the kind of things that actually make elections get across the finish line and win if we want to take a stand. And then there are other issues and causes to get involved in that help push the nation forward as well. But 2024 is going to be a really critical race. And again, I don't think that the left is winning because they win. As my mom would tell me growing up playing sports, honey, you didn't win, you didn't lose that, or they didn't win that game, you lost that game. And you can decide how you play. And it's not always that, well, you know, they just outplayed us. That's not how it goes. We have a choice in how this goes.
Yeah. And so I'm really optimistic. I'm optimistic for 2024. And I mean, I don't know if you're feeling it, but I'm feeling it as I'm watching the news and reading articles.
People are coming together in a new way.
There's a coalescing. Mm-hmm. There's something that's happening that I think can be and will be very positive going forward as we come together as a nation and agree. Like, we may have our differences, but we all agree that what we're seeing right now, that's not us, and
that's not
America.
Who we're gonna be. Yeah. Right. We want leaders who are agreed on what America is. And what it means, for example, is that we have a border.
Yeah.
Right?
Just the basics.
Just the basics. Yeah. Like, and it means that we're not getting taxed at such an absurd percentage that we can't feed our families. Like, super basics like that.
It means that as parents, like, we actually have the right to parent our children. And not have the educational system have secret conversations with them about, you know,
we didn't delegate out. We didn't surrender our parental rights without anybody telling us.
Exactly.
So this is Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca. You can find us at standshow.org. We're so glad that you joined us today. Make sure to get your tickets for Alan Dershowitz if you are in Alaska, live in Alaska. If you're not in Alaska, what a great time to come to Alaska this June. Make sure that you align it with the trip for Alan Dershowitz on June 27th. Standshow.org. Hit subscribe, follow us. We will see you next week. We're so glad to have you as one of our standouts. Stands firm and stands strong.